You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 12th, 2020, and it's a swing and a miss in our fight against COVID.
Oh, man. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And we're talking about sports.
The big wide world of sports. That's a thing, right?
E and otherwise.
Yes, that's very true. The E sports, I'm much more familiar with. T sports, which I saw today, I assume means traditional sports, but I love the idea of just dominion.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I've never heard that.
I love the idea of, let's just start trivializing and dominionizing traditional sports by calling it T-sports and E-sports.
Man.
Is that a great idea?
Well, we should go further and just call it P-sports for physical.
And yeah, that's true.
Be like P.
Or like P-sports. O, like O-sports for outdoor sports.
Yeah.
And then hockey would be ice sports.
Ice sports.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, is golf physical, though? I don't know.
Hey, take that, Tiger. America is sitting at the very back of the class when it comes to dealing with COVID-19. So
oh, yeah, dunce
still,
cap and all.
Yeah, we are, your boys at experiencepoints.net are still living in a waking nightmare day by day. But there are still very interesting things happening during this waking nightmare when in regards to gaming, both T and E.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the I guess it's kind of like the rule changes or just almost the culture changes of it and how esports is handling it and what cues are being taken from the traditional sports realm. But there's a bunch of stuff floating around that I think is just interesting from like a structural game design perspective.
Yeah, we're at this really interesting spot, right? Where I think there was a moment in, you know, March, February, I guess really like March, April, May, where we all knew that this was an pandemic, it was a global concern, but we still had on our emerald glasses. There was still a degree of optimism that, right, well, maybe come October, we'll be through the worst of it and we'll start opening up again, right? And at this point, you know, we dropped and then we started climbing again. And now we're sort of like, I don't know where we're at, somewhere in the middle, I assume.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's clear that we're not returning to normal anytime soon, that it is very much a new normal. And I was listening to a YouTube video today interviewing Dash, who's a esports broadcaster for League of Legends. And he was talking about how he felt that it was even more important for esports to be around and do their thing, despite all of the insane challenges that they're having executing, which I also thought was interesting because, you know, esports, you almost think naturally that would lend itself better to this scenario, but I don't know how true that is. But anyway, he was talking about how much more important it was because esports manages to bring this sense of community that a lot of people are lacking right now because they literally cannot engage with their outside community. You know, checking in with you, I know this is certainly, in my case, you know, there are ups and downs. I went on this long vacation recently, and I didn't realize how rejuvenating it would be to feel like you were living a normal life because I stepped away from a computer, right? And I was like, well, I was isolated because I chose to be rather than I was forced to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a social person, and it was like getting really emotionally taxing. And then breaking out of that and getting that momentary break was like, oh, right. Like, it really is important to have these like regular human connections. And gaming has historically filled that void. And I think esports is one that over the past couple of years has been a huge sort of community experience at a very global level, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So did they say, and this is where I'm more ignorant in what they're actually doing, but like, I know a lot of the conventions have been canceled. Are they doing anything special for any of the big, like, what the fuck's happening with the International? Shouldn't the International be happening
pretty soon? I don't know. Yeah, I think usually the International is in August. I don't know what, that's a great question, actually. I should look that up. Like,
try to do a quick Google search.
Yeah, I mean, I know the conventions have found some interesting solutions. You know, a lot of things have been put online. I thought that the way that San Diego Comic-Con did their convention was really well done. They essentially made it open and free to the public. A lot, if not all, of the sessions were live streamed or premiered on YouTube at the given dates, so you could go and tune in and you knew what was coming up. You had the whole schedule. You could watch at your leisure.
Right.
A lot of the reason people tune into San Diego Comic-Con is for those live panels and new content reveals. And I'm sure it wasn't as big of a fanfare, but that was, I think, a really smart way of recreating some of the San Diego Comic-Con experience online. I had tickets to Gen Con, which is one of the biggest board game conventions in the world. That was canceled. That was going to be for August, so that was canceled, of course. And they tried to do an online thing where, you know, some people would play RPGs online and there'd be sessions and stuff. For board games, like, that's such an in-person thing. You really can't recreate that. I know a lot of people have found success, and there's been a huge uptick in people playing, say, Tabletop Simulator as a way of creating that sort of board game group online. But I think for a lot of the conventions that are really important to be in person, you're just never going to recoup that, you know?
Yeah. By the way, it looks like they have just indefinitely postponed the International. They did that back in April, and it doesn't seem like they've said anything since.
Yeah, so
it looks like they're still selling the compendium.
Well, that's not surprising. So for League of Legends, it's been interesting watching this past season of broadcasts, right? Because there was a time where all of the shoutcasters were working from home, and all of the shoutcasts were from their home desks. The LCS got lambasted for some shoddy setup. The LEC, which is the European competition that I generally watch, similarly had a lot of challenges. They have ended up going back to the studio, and the studio has all of the lights. It has the stage. They move the camera around. Just no one is in it. The announcers are there, but if you look carefully, there's a thin plexiglass wall that's separating the two so that they can't touch. And you even see sometimes they'll, like, you know, high five or touch each other through the glass. Because, it, you know, like, it's like sad,
Spock, dude. And Kirk dying, well, like Spock dying at the end of Star Trek.
I think it's more similar to, like, apes in captivity, you know? Like, it's sad, tragic, like, thing where it's like, oh, like, connect me to me through the glass. And they've done a killer job. I think for the most part, they've really gotten it in a good place. You can see that the players are now playing in their gaming houses. So there's still risk there in that they are coming together, but they're coming together in smaller groups. And at least as far as I know, no one has tested positive for it at all. There was a week during the esports event where one of the shoutcasters had been in touch with someone who had confirmed case of coronavirus. And as a result, he immediately, of course, told his managers, and they basically shut down the entire live broadcast for that week and did it from home again. So while he was waiting for his test results. So they've been taking it pretty seriously. And I think everyone on the esports side, at least, that's been managed to still do these the best way they can, I think they've done a pretty commendable job.
And you said that this was mostly the physical things. They were holding them in places in Europe, you said?
So the LEC is the one that I've been watching, where they've been holding it in Europe. The LCS in America still has their shoutcasters working from home. Okay. So you can see that they are in their bedrooms. Some of them have nice setups now, you know, they've got a standing desk, they have, like, a little background thing.
How about the players? Like, are the players physical, or are they...
So here's the problem, right, with competitive events is that you need to be in close proximity to one another just for pure latency issues, right?
Yep.
The big question, the reason, for example, Rainbow Six canceled their sort of international competition this summer is because the logistics of flying people across the globe to Montreal was just untenable, right? You cannot fly those teams and not put those players at significant risk.
Well, plus if any of the players are from the U.S., there's a ban. They literally cannot even get in.
Right. Yeah. And so that was the challenge on that front, because you need to be in close proximity to have low latency. Yeah. As far as I understand, all of the LCS players are playing either in their houses or at the studios, but in their own sort of like private rooms. So it's the same as the LEC, where they have their five players plus some coaching staff and stuff. But yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, it's certainly been a major challenge for them. I think I commend everyone involved on that side of things to make things work, because I agree with Dash's sentiment, right? I think games have already created really powerful communities over the years, and I think especially when we're all locked in and the online communities that we have are some of the only ones that we can be, you know, reliant on, it really makes that kind of thing so much more important. You know, it really, at least for me, being able to watch like competitive events and being like a terrible Twitch chat, you know, with people just being toxic, it reminds me why I'm in this community in the first place.
Harkens back to the good old days.
Exactly.
So they were planning on doing something for Evo that I thought was interesting. Unfortunately, Evo 2020 was canceled because of sexual misconduct allegations.
Kind of pox and pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Another plague that is also completely controllable, and yet we do nothing. but I mean, to be fair, I think it's good on them that they just canceled the whole damn thing if something is so rotten. But before that came to light, I thought Evo's take was pretty interesting, which is similar. They were like, look, we can't, for fighting games especially, we cannot have a pure experience doing it online. We can't make sure that people are above board.
I mean, they still play on CRTs, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So what they did was, they moved everything online, but just turned it into like this grand open tournament. So they picked four games and anyone could sign up to play and get put in a bracket. And eventually someone would be crowned the champion of Evo 2020 in this like super weird, totally open to anyone who wants to sign up.
Just the biggest bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would have been interesting, because that would have been a uniquely online experience, right? One that you wouldn't be able to get at Evo. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, and one of the... I don't know enough about different approaches to minimizing latency, but the games they chose were Mortal Kombat 11, Killer Instinct, Them's Fightin' Herds.
I don't even know what that is.
It's apparently a kind of faux My Little Pony fighting game.
Hell yes. Them's Fightin' Herds.
and then Skullgirls.
Yeah.
And apparently these four games were picked because they have very good netcode implementations, such that it's pretty reliable to play regardless of you know who's playing, what your connection is like.
Sure.
Which to me was cool, because I think what this is going to force in some ways is, like it has forced people to figure out Zoom, like it's forced people to upgrade their internet, all that stuff. Like it forces games to figure out, oh, well, if we're going to be a legitimate tournament scene, we probably have to deal with the reality that, I don't know, at least 300, a country of a population of 300 million people, of which many, many millions are video game players, are going to be stuck there for like the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And like, how do we accommodate that? And what are our technology choices, and how are those influenced by the realities of the disease?
Yeah. Do you think that the experiences of those crazy launches, you know, like everyone launches a game and day one, it crashes the servers. Do you feel like that has prepared game publishers to better handle the realities of a COVID world?
I mean,
we know people are spending more time online and in games and stuff.
It is true. I mean, I wonder, it comes at such a strange point where, what if Stadia launched now instead of pre-pandemic?
Yeah. God, I forgot Stadia was out.
Yeah, so did everybody. I mean, but I mean, you have xCloud coming out, you know, you're... I wonder if maybe we'll never... You know, will we ever have a time when some big multiplayer game comes out and it doesn't and it's not dodgy the first day, or will the cloud gaming stuff fix that? Because it is just inherently more scalable, you know?
Yeah. My other thought too was, I wonder if people are more likely now, and I think this is almost certainly the case, but I would be curious to know how much it's impacted multiplayer games, is just how many people have mics, you know? Mm. I mean, there were times where you would play certain games online and no one would be mic'd up. You know, we would play Rocket League or something and no one would be online talking to help strategize, you know?
Right.
It's one of the biggest selling points of playing games on PC. You can pretty reliably know that a lot of the people will have a microphone. And now, right. I mean, especially for PC gaming, I guess, if people are going to be working from home, it feels like maybe we'll find ourselves talking more online, or even maybe being more comfortable talking with strangers online.
Maybe. I mean, there's definitely a cultural shift of just like normalizing online communication, period. Like in the business world, I mean, huge negotiations are happening completely remotely now, which, I mean, even my stupid job, like I would regularly have to get on flights to have one meeting somewhere.
Yep.
And I mean, not in the past 6 months.
Right.
And guess what? You know, business continues to move. So, I mean, I think that sort of thing is kind of,
we need the huge Star Trek screen, you know?
Yeah. The huge view screen,
the huge view screen where you just see someone's enormous face on your wall.
Be like, on screen, Jared, please floss. Like,
that would be great. Let's talk a little bit about baseball, because you also sent me this interesting ESPN. This is actually a really awesome ESPN like, FAQ guide about Major League Baseball's COVID protocols.
Yes.
And man, it is wild to me. I mean, I don't know. Like, I go back and forth on it, right? Because this feels to me like an incredible effort to keep people from not getting COVID, but at the same time, not nearly good enough.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And there is that the ever-ending interesting question of when is it worth it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and we can go into a few different ways different sports are dealing with it, but I mean, to me, to your point, there's a huge amount of different rules that they claim they are putting into place, but none of these rules are sufficient. You know? This is like quarantine theater, you know, where they're saying, okay, well, we're only going to let X number of people in the clubhouse, and then before the game, we're going to reduce that number. So it's like we're like whittling down the number of people that are there in the stadium. We're going to put in rules to say, like, you know, you have to be distanced inside of the locker room, like all of that shit. Yeah. But it's like all telling that shit sounds great, but it's like, I, as the father of a preschooler, that will never ever work.
It's like telling a celebrity no sex in the champagne room, you know? That's not it's not going to work that way. In fact, the whole fact that you said that means that they're going to do that, you know?
Right. The fact that you have to say that means that it's already a problem you've probably already lost.
We're talking about a sport that is consistently racked with scandal, you know? From doping to cheating to just straight up physically accosting people that call you out for cheating. Looking at you, Astros, right? Why would we have any faith that people within this field would take it seriously enough not to put some of the people that do want to take it seriously at risk?
Yeah.
Because, like, I've not watched any baseball. Do they play on the field with masks on?
Some people do.
Really?
Some people don't. The coaches and umpires do, for the most part.
Do pitchers?
I have not seen many players wear a mask on field.
Interesting.
I don't know if they're, because there's also very strict rules around, like, uniform guidelines and such, but I don't know, because the other thing too is baseball is weird, is that there's just a lot of people on a baseball team, period. Like, baseball is a large sport in terms of like number of players, and so there's rules for, like, in the dugout, like on the bench, you have to be X feet away from each other, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
It doesn't.
I mean, I even see something in here where, like, if someone has touched the ball, they'll remove the ball from play and, like, use gloves and stuff.
Yeah. It, also, baseball is a weird culture of, like, people spitting all the time. So
I had not even thought about that.
and you know, pitchers will, like, lick their hand and then throw the ball. It's, I mean, it's like there's just a lot of fluids.
God, I didn't realize how gross baseball was.
I mean, it's pretty gross. I mean, it's the only sport in which people still chew tobacco.
Yeah. How weird that we're just all okay with the fact that there's a subset of people that are, we pay huge amounts of money to be culturally relevant are still trapped in, like, the 1860s.
Change is slow. But I mean, the thing that is, to me, irresponsible is that they're edging around the problem. Like, the teams are still traveling. You know, these guys are still being sent from city to city. Yeah. And they're, to my knowledge, you know, there's no, you know, COVID chaperone. Like, these guys are going out and, you know, a lot of them are in, you know, I mean, they're just in fun cities. They're young people. Like, things are going to happen, you know? And so I just don't. It's treating. It's kind of doing a lot of. It's like looking busy, you know? Oh, yeah, we're going to wear gloves. We're going to put masks on. You got to stand separately. But still, you're going to fly around to a million different cities. You're going to play a game where the pitcher, the batter, and the umpire. Most umpires put their hands on the back of the catcher as they're calling balls and strikes. Like, that's how close they are.
Yeah. That's so weird.
So it's like, what are you even doing, guys? Like, what? Come on.
And I'm even looking at this. This even has, I don't know when this article was published, but it has a note as to the number of positive tests of COVID-19 amongst some of these baseball teams.
Yes.
Like, the Phillies have 7, Diamondbacks have 4. Like, it's clearly not something where, oh, well, you know, they're part of the protected class that doesn't really get infected, you know?
Yeah. And I think this is a little bit outdated where the, you know, the Marlins, had, you know, Florida, right? Like, the Marlins had a bunch of players test positive. I mean, like, there are definitely positive tests. And, you know, these players are also going home. Like, they're not quarantined from the rest of their family when they are doing home games or when they have, you know, off weeks or whatever. So that just basically exponentially increases the surface threat of what's going on.
So how do we jive then the value that entertainment brings, be it esports or t-sports, with the risk that the sport requires of its players and staff?
Yeah. I mean, there's alternatives. I think the NBA is taking a different approach, mm-hmm. which is not surprising. I mean, as far as,
you know. Well, okay, hold on. Genuine question, though. How ludicrous is it to be like, okay, we're going to pause normal NBA, and instead we're going to have full teams in full mascot gear? There's no touching, you know, like every single person is in a mascot costume, right? And it's like Masked Singer, you know, we don't know who dunked that week, you know, like why not think outside the box? Why is it that we always have to be inside of this? Like, this is the way that it works. This is how we do things. We got to do it this way.
I mean, that's why I admired the Evo approach, which was why are we trying to play by the traditional rules? I mean, we're chasing something that we'll never catch. So why not change our approach
nice
completely?
Nice pun there, Scott.
You know, why not change the game? You know, I mean, I think that, you know, the NBA at least is doing something a little bit different.
Yeah. So what are they doing? Are they in like full hazmat gear or what?
Yeah. Check out the LeBron Air hazmat. they're doing a thing where, because the NBA had already been playing because the season starts in the fall, and so they'd already been going, and so they had a fair number of games under their belt, and so they selected a subset of teams that were already probably in the running for the playoffs and are basically doing a miniature tournament where they're playing all the games in Orlando, I think. Which, interesting. Ooh, dicey. But how would they have known that?
Well, I mean,
but,
that was a risk even before COVID.
I mean, fair enough. We should have quarantined them long ago, but that's a whole other. they're setting up a landlocked blood sport type of scenario where everyone is potted up, such that all the teams are there, effectively quarantined, if I have read this correctly, where they're not traveling. All of the games are played in the same city in the same stadium, and so they're able to kind of control the flow of people in and out. It's a subset of teams, so, you know, our local Warriors are not part of this tournament because they weren't good enough, right? So they're only
selecting
the teams that had... I mean, sorry, the Warriors were bad this year. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Well, I do know what happened. Everyone broke their feet. and then they're going to basically play a tournament to figure out, you know, they're going to do a condensed version of the playoffs and the finals, which, and, you know, there's not going to be any fans. There's not going to be any travel or anything.
Do you think that the players will take it seriously, or do you think they'll see this as like, this is just a weird off year and let's phone it in?
I mean, from what I can see, I've watched some footage of it, and I've seen some of the highlights and stuff, and they seem like they're taking it pretty seriously. I mean, it's hard to tell, and then there's a certain like ineffable quality of like, what does it mean if you're playing a game without an audience, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, they seem to be taking it pretty seriously.
Interesting.
The NHL is doing a similar thing. I'm not clear if...
Well, all of them wear masks anyway. Just make those airtight.
Well, the problem is the NHL players don't wear masks. That's why none of them have teeth.
Oh, that's true. Only the goalie.
The goalies do, yeah.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Spoiler alert, I don't really watch any T-sports.
I mean, it's a fascinating time to be watching T-sports now because they're all having to figure out how do you play T-sports without the physicality of it, you know?
So yeah, it's,
I think the NHL is doing something similar to the NBA, but they're doing like two cities, like one for each conference, basically, and then maybe they'll meet after that. I don't exactly know how.
And how they're handling that. Are they truncating how long their games are so that they're playing them in close proximity to one another? Because if you're what you're saying, they're sort of quarantining the players together, right?
Yeah.
For the duration of the tournament.
Right. Right. So I don't think they're making changes to the rules of the game-to-game rule set. Yeah. I think it's just more like we're basically truncating the season, even though the games are the same.
Yeah.
The crazy thing, too, is about baseball. It's like, well, we're telling the players not to do, like, celebratory things, like no high-fiving, no hugging after a home run, like all that shit. Yeah. And it's like...
No looking at the ref.
Like, who's going to do that? I mean, you can't possibly... It makes so much more sense to do the podding method versus the like, hey, don't touch anyone method, you know?
Yeah. Or, I mean, again, like maybe this is just the crazy part of me, but why bother at all, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, that's a bigger thing. Like to me, it's kind of woefully irresponsible to even be having these things, period. But
yeah, this is where in a weird way, and maybe I'm already biased as a esports over T-sports person, right?
E over T for life.
But like, you know, we have alternatives to some of these traditional sports in the form of esports, and I get it, like whatever, maybe we all don't want to watch NBA 2K15 or whatever as our competitive event of the year, but you know, I don't know, I wonder if there's just a part of me that's like, you know, you can get your team sports action somewhere else that's a little bit safer for people. But at the same time, you know, again, I understand how important it is from a sense of, you know, there's a part of me that wants to be like, we should salvage what normalcy we can because we live in an extremely non-normal world right now.
Yeah.
And sports is a huge part of the normal lives that people live. That's just an undoubted fact. It doesn't matter what sport, right? Countless people watch sports and take sports very, very seriously. I have chosen mine, but others love golf and others love hockey, and some people watch rugby or curling or, you know, gymnastics, right? Like, watching other people perform, especially in a team-based environment, is a very fundamental human experience. And so I totally right. understand wanting to create that normalcy and really sort of lock in that sense of community that you have in those spaces by continuing to do your best to make them safe spaces and willingly taking the risk, you know?
Yeah.
I guess another question would be, do people have a way to opt out, you know? Like, and I think that's actually one thing that traditional sports maybe do better than esports, but, you know, like, if a major player says, man, I don't know if I want to take that risk, or I need to help take care of my mom, and so I don't want to have to come to this thing, like, your career might be gone forever. That's how short careers are in esports, right? Like, I don't believe for a second anyone can realistically take a year off of esports and expect to come back and be just as in a strong position in terms of their career as a result of Corona. I do think probably maybe some baseball players can. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in terms of like how long careers are. I mean, do you think that that's an option, or do you feel like people are just kind of like forced to be in this situation?
I mean, I think this is where E&T sports have similar money problems, where the people that, even though there are a certain set of outlier players that get paid very well, there's a bunch of like workaday players that are right on the bubble. You know, like they don't get paid that well. This might be their only chance to prove themselves. So I think there's kind of a pressure that isn't really fair to. I mean, it's kind of like any person that has. I mean, we're lucky in that we have white collar jobs. We don't have to go to the office. But for sure. I don't blame anyone for having to go to work, because like sometimes you just have to. And so, I think with a professional sports player, it's a little different. I mean, you know, a lot of people are in a fairly good position if they've gotten to that pinnacle of competitive sport. They probably have enough money to float a year or so. But I think to your point, I mean, some sports have a longer tail than others, but a year is a long time. I mean, you know, who knows what will happen in that year? Like if you lose a step, maybe that's it, you know, like that was your peak, right? And you've lost one of your peak years. And so what does that do for the rest of your career? Yeah. And then there's also just the like informal retribution that might happen, you know, not as extreme as like Colin Kaepernick, but like if there is a certain number of players that are like, and the NBA went through this where they kind of negotiated back and forth about like when people felt safe to even do the thing that they're doing. And but if you don't have that backing of the rest of the players, then all of a sudden you're the odd man out, and now magically no one is gonna draft you.
I mean, there's even simple things, right? Like wearing a mask on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The soccer stuff was interesting. I read a little bit about I read about the Premier League and a few others, and it seems like they're doing something similar to baseball, but they have earned it, right? Like they in Europe, they in Germany or whatever, they have it more under control than they do in the US. So
the Bundesliga can do whatever they want.
Yeah. I mean, like they can, it makes more sense versus, you know, how Major League Baseball is doing it here. Yeah, the opt-out stuff is interesting, though. It looks like some baseball players could opt out if they so chose, but it means foregoing pay. It means, you know, who knows what's going to happen to you next time, you know, you're up for a job. Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine that there's too many baseball players that are in the at-risk group anyway, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah,
it's scary though, because there was I forget his name. He was a pitcher. I forget what team. It was Major League Baseball though, but he got COVID-19. He got COVID-19, and then he was one of those people that had like heart inflammation afterwards, and they were like, "You can't play anymore. You look like you have heart disease now, and we don't know what's going to happen." And so it's like, man, like these are guys who are like peak athletes in their 20s. And so it's just a lot and now you have something that, you know, people in their 60s get, you know? So it's like, I just don't know. It's just a big choice to make, you know, for those people.
Because then your career could be shot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, do you really want to like, to your point, is it worth even risking that? You know, you're traveling around the country, like, you know, you're exposed to a million different people, even if you're trying to be careful. Like, it's just the rules are such that it's not set up in your favor.
Yeah.
Versus like how the NHL or the NBA are doing it.
Yeah. I know it's hard to predict, but do you think that there, or rather, are there any ways that you think, if and when we get through this particularly dark tunnel in the history of mankind,
right?
what are the ways do you think that sports, both traditional and electronic, will change in the future? Like, for sure, you know, one of the things I've always thought kind of gross is the way that after a game, esports players, at least in the LEC and LCS, will go and sort of slap the hands of just the row of fans. You know,
oh, yeah.
Just slap, you know what I mean? It's so fucking gross. I find that so bonkers. Or, you know, I just finished watching The Last Dance, and you would watch, you know, Michael Jordan leave the stands, and people would be touching his head. Like, yeah. What, dude? Like, that's yeah. Just, there's no way I can imagine, even if we get past all that, that we'll just bring back rampant touching of strangers, you know.
Or like in Green Bay and the NFL, like the Lambeau leap, like diving into the crowd after a touchdown.
Oh, is that a thing? Ugh.
Yeah, like or the Raiders do that too back when they, well, I guess they'll never play in Oakland again since we probably won't have the NFL this year, but when they got a touchdown, they would jump into the stands and just like the fans would like mob them or whatever. So it's just like a mass of people laying on you. So like yeah. It's just a totally foreign thing in this world now.
Yeah, that's bonkers. I also think that, at least on the electronic side, there's going to have to be more and more contingencies, right? I mean, there's no reason to believe that this is the last pandemic mankind will ever have.
Right.
Certainly there are disasters, there are, you know, political events that will take place that fundamentally shift when and how we can execute on large-scale events, gaming events or publicly watched events. I think certainly, even in the space that I work in, there are more and more conversations about, well, what if, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The contingency plan is now more relevant because people have seen what could happen.
Right.
I mean, to me, I wonder if the, had Evo been able to happen, I was really interested in what the outcome would be. You know, they have these huge tournaments. Would someone who's a professional, would they have won, or would it have been someone totally out of nowhere that like could never have been able to travel for whatever reason, but was the most amazing player?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think,
or even, I hope, or even excelled because of that there. Environment, you know, like there's even a chance that person knows and exploits the latency in a way that people that might be proficient with it would never have grasped.
Right. So I would hope that there, it at least broadens the horizons of, you know, maybe I could see a hybrid model of, you know, in Evo 2022 or whatever, we are going to have some games that are open to anyone, and we're going to have some games that are, you're required to be on site. You know, it would be cool and a big audience win, in my opinion. I love the idea of an open tournament. Anyone can sign up.
Let's do that with the MLB, baby. Let me take a swing. Yeah,
this is how we get Air Bud, right? I mean, because then anyone can sign up for this.
There's no rule that says dogs can't play basketball. Sorry, I checked the book.
I mean, it would be cool to me if it at least broadened the horizons a little bit so that you could have something like that, and that people paid more attention to the online experience in a tournament setting versus just assuming that anyone who's serious about it is going to be, you know, local networked up and in person doing it.
Yeah. I do feel like there may have been an opportunity to crack open and just have more sports, like more events, you know, because even if we came back to live events, it doesn't mean you couldn't do an online invitational that brings you to some live event.
If I was EA, I would be lobbying all of my contacts at all of these places, you know, whether it's FIFA, NFL, whatever, I would be lobbying them so hard to get the players playing virtual tournaments.
100%
streaming them. I have no clue why they're not doing that. I don't think they're doing that, well, to my knowledge.
It's because it's very expensive to get people who are rich to do things you want them to do.
I guess that's fair. I mean, but I mean, like, even those, it doesn't seem like you'd have to do it in a strict way. It's almost more entertainment than anything, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And also, I do think that those kinds of casual, low-stakes events do actually a very good job of reigniting and maintaining the interest of the fan community, you know?
Yeah.
If you had a 3v3 tournament between some players playing, you know, NBA 2K or something who are basketball stars, that could be a fun little diversion, you know?
Right, right. I mean, even think more laterally, where, why, you know, this is kind of like the before we settled into a steady state of Fortnite or whatever. Like, Fortnite would have random celebrities playing it. I mean, if I were Fall Guys or whatever, you know, flavor of the month multiplayer game is out there, I'd be like, well, there's a bunch of, you know, NBA players that did not get selected for this tournament. I'm going to see what Steph Curry is up to and see if he wants to be on the stream for 20 minutes. Yeah. You know?
On the other hand, maybe Steph Curry is like, fuck that, dude. I'm loving it. I don't have to do jack shit right now. This is great.
He's now just like being a weird angel investor in the Bay Area. Like, it's, I mean,
because we needed more of those.
You know, the Currys are going to be just fine. But I mean, it would be so smart for some of those big game publishers to take advantage of the whole cast of people that probably have a little bit of extra time on their hands and would be willing to joke around on stream for a while, you know?
Yeah, totally. You know, I have a Yisha Curry's blanket in my living room. I bought it from her store in Oakland. I'm very proud of it.
Not hand knitted by her?
It's definitely not hand knitted. I just like to say it's a Yisha Curry's blanket.
This is from the Ayesha Curry collection.
My good friend, Ayesha Curry. Ayesha Curry.
And then you can eat your Ayesha Curry inspired recipes underneath the blanket and just like, mmm.
Yep. Curry dishes, they're called.
experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoint.net is our dugout. Come on down, but, you know, stay 6 feet
away.
Don't
high-five us.
Don't high-five us. Stay 6 feet away. If you want to show your gratitude rather than high-fiving us, you can leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever fine podcasts are sold.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Stay safe. Ciao.